This morning we have a message that you may have never heard. I know that I have never, I tried to find, and I mean, you know, there's a thousand sermons, thousands that I've taught over the years. I couldn't find this sermon that I've ever taught this. And so this morning, we, and of course, you know, we're just 10 days away from Christmas, can you believe it? And, you know, not the Christmas that the world celebrates. We're going to celebrate the true Christmas, amen? We're going to celebrate the greatest birth in the history of mankind, a birth that not only changed the world and is still changing the world, but also at the same time even changed our calendar. Isn't that amazing? And so last Sunday, you know, we went all the way back into eternity, and we looked at the divine mystery, if you will, between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, about Jesus being slain, of course, before the foundation of the earth. But this morning, we're going to leave eternity. We're going to step back into time, and we're going to look at Matthew for a little bit this morning. And remember that from Malachi to Matthew, the gospel, is 400 years, Malachi being the last book of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. And there were 400 years of silence from heaven. There was not a prophetic word, as we know, that was given, okay? During that time, of course, that's when the Sadducees and the Essenes and the Pharisees and the synagogues, really, everything started blossoming at that time. And so I'm going to ask you a question, or begin with a question this morning. And maybe you're here, mom, dad, single people, whatever. I'm speaking to everyone, but in a particular way to moms and dads, okay? You know, I mean, are you struggling to give your wife or your husband or maybe your child the perfect gift? Well, if you are, I'm going to tell you about that more in a minute. But this morning, I want you to think about something. If you go through the first few chapters of, say, Matthew and Luke, you're going to find so many recorded words from the Holy Spirit that Mary spoke in our scripture. Think about that. I mean, the magnificent, the incredible song of Mary, Mary speaking with Elizabeth, Mary speaking with angels. I mean, you know, amazing. But then when you come to Joseph, and you try to find out, well, this guy didn't say a word. You can't find one recorded word of Joseph in the Christmas stories. And you have to ask yourself a question. Why would the Holy Spirit, why would he not at least record something of this incredible man? And loved one, listen to me. Boy, you talking about an incredible man. He was a remarkable man. You think of the last words, for example, of Mary. Remember what they were? The last words recorded of Mary, the mother of our Lord, in the Bible. It was there in John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 5, whenever Mary told the Lord, said, you know, we're out of wine. This is a wedding and all this. And Jesus just looked at her and said, well, woman, my hour hasn't come. And then Mary looked at the servants and says, whatever he says, you go do it, okay? And you know the story, okay? Now, so that was the last recorded words. But again, when it comes to Joseph, we don't find anything at all. It doesn't speak a word in the Bible, but it's amazing how often he didn't speak, but how often heaven spoke to him, amen? So this morning, I want to talk to you about the silent man, if you will, at Christmas. And again, this is, it's just been on my heart, and really, it was yesterday afternoon. This has been such a traumatic week in a way that I rushed into the office from a funeral, and I come in here, and I said, Lord, you know, you've changed my sermon three times. You're trying to torture me or whatever. It's Christmas. You know, supposed to be joy, you know, to the world and all that. But anyway, when you think about the Christmas story, it's very easy for all of us to think about Mary, the shepherds in the field, the angels singing, the wise men, amen, the manger, and so forth. But when we think about Joseph, it's like, I mean, can you imagine Joseph? I mean, how about being in a Christmas play? Okay, here I am. I don't have anything to say. He's just, there's nothing. There's not anything. He just stands there, you know. You know, doesn't do a thing. And so, but to me, he's not only the silent man at Christmas, he is one of the most remarkable men in the entire Bible. I mean, you want me to tell you how remarkable he is? God in heaven chose Joseph to be the surrogate father, if you will, or the foster father, however you want to put it, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, out of every person on earth at that time, God chose Joseph. Think about that. Man, listen, we know, of course, that Joseph, being he is a descendant of David, just like Mary, the mother of our Lord, was a descendant of David. We know that the Bible tells us in Matthew 13, I believe it is, someplace in there, it tells us that Joseph was a carpenter by trade. And God chose him to share eternity's plan, what was planned before he was ever even born, loved one, to share in the greatest adventure in the world with a little teenage girl named Mary. How remarkable. Now listen, I want you to really kind of erase the Christmas story out of your mind for a minute, and I want you to really look at this man to see how remarkable he was, beginning in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, he's about to discover something. He's about to discover the woman that he is betrothed to. We could say that word he's engaged to is with a child, okay? Now, let's look at it. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 18, listen, it is pregnant with meaning, and there's no pun intended, okay? But it's a pregnant verse. If we went back and started in verse 1, we would cover 17 verses there in proving Jesus is genealogy, if you will, his human genealogy. But only one verse is given for his divinity, okay? And so here it says that she was betrothed, of course, to Joseph. Now listen, that's similar to our engagement. It lasted about, a year. They could not be together, all right? And they were considered, though, even though they were betrothed, they were still considered man and wife. Does that make sense? But without the benefits of intimacy and so forth, okay? Now, it was so serious that when a Jewish girl was betrothed to a Jewish man, the only way to dissolve it would be by, of course, a sin that came in and so forth. So it could be by a divorce, and then it could be also by death. Now, it says, though, look at it, before they came together, meaning before or during the time they had absolutely no intimacy, no sexual intimacy at all. But look what happened. It says, but Mary was found. Now that word there means literally meaning a discovery, which shocked Joseph. It blew Joseph away. She was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. That's never repeated by the matter of fact, that act by the Holy Spirit anywhere else in the Bible. Now, do you know what Joseph said about that? He didn't say anything. It's not recorded, but he had to have said something, amen? But he didn't say a word. Let me ask you a question. Let's just bring this thing up to right today, man. Let me talk to the guys. Would that mess up your wedding plans? I mean, you love this woman, and I mean, you're standing at the altar with her, and she's showing. Are you following me? I want you to look at that now. Instead of having a true honeymoon, you're getting ready to prepare a nursery. Do you understand? Yeah, that's what you're going to do. And you're getting ready to raise not your child. You're getting ready to raise somebody else's child that your fiance has been with. Would that bother you? Now let's look at the explanation she would give. And I told you we're going to be in Matthew and Luke. So look at Luke 1:28. If you're there, if you're not, I'll just read to you. So her explanation, she looked at Joseph, and maybe let's just say she looked at one of you guys and said, "Oh, listen, an angel appeared." Joseph might say, it's not recorded, but he said, an angel? Yeah, an angel. Well, what did the angel say? Look what Mary says in verse 28 of Luke 1. Well, the angel said, rejoice highly, O favored one, the Lord's with you. Blessed are you among women, not above women, but among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, oh, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And the kingdom, there will be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, well, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel said to her, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you or rest upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of Joseph? No, the Son of God. Now, listen, maybe if we just try to figure, I'm not trying to add or anything, but just listen, maybe Joseph said to Mary, and well, when the angel told you all of that, now just exactly what did you say to that angel? Well, it's recorded for us in Luke 1:38. Mary told the angel, well, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word, and the angel departed from her. So now listen, so Mary is with child, but she has not been unfaithful. We know that, amen? Now, but let me bring it up to here. I mean, if this happened today and somebody told you that, you might say, well, Bill, listen, you know, you might want to tell Joseph that you're dreaming, brother. You know, this can't be. Well, that's exactly what Joseph's about to do, is dream. Look at verse 19 of Matthew 1. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a good man, he loved God. He was a good Jewish man who loved the Lord, loved the law of God. He was an upright man, a just man. And look what he did. Not wanting to make her, Mary, a public example. In other words, exposing her, disgracing her, making her a public example by for adultery or what was the stoning? Yes. And so it says, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded, or literally he decided to do something. Now, what did he decide to do? To put her away secretly. The word put away means divorce, okay? So put away her secretly, divorce her privately, and so forth. Now listen, the first thing I want you to see about a man that doesn't have one word spoken in the Bible, okay, is this. Did Joseph love Mary? Oh, he loved her. Listen, he loved her so much, no matter what he thought that she had done, because he did think that. Are you following me? No matter what she had done, he could not hurt her. He did not want to leave her. He wanted to be with her. This man loved Mary. Look at verse 20. And so what did Joseph start doing? This silent man at Christmas. Well, he thought about these things. He started processing. Okay, what do I need to do? This is just crazy. And look what happened. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. How? Say it one more time. In a dream. Saying, O Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, not a daughter, a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now the word Jesus means Savior, which implies his mission, why Jesus came. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, I have come to seek and save the lost. Amen. That's what he came to do. And he says, a Savior, and look what he will do. He will save his people from their sins. That is the greatest news ever spoken on this planet and ever printed on a page. Amen. That which has separated us from God, which no person can pay for. The wages of sin is death. No man can pay for it, but Jesus paid for it on the cross. Amen. Listen, John 3:17, it says, Jesus, God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We know that the Lord said that he was manifested, 1 John 3:5, manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. So the angel of the Lord, listen, Joseph was so convinced that Mary, he couldn't get it. Does that make sense? And neither could we. And we're going, how can you be pregnant? You don't know a man. Come on, Mary. I mean, this doesn't make sense to me. It was so profound that God, in his love for Joseph and Mary and for us, had to move from heaven into his heart and mind with a dream. Amen? That's how important it was. And so he said, don't be afraid. He didn't mean don't be afraid of me, the angel. He says, man, don't be afraid of marrying your wife, Mary, the one you're espoused to, even though she's already showing. I mean, even though you have not in any way consummated this marriage. But I think that it goes deeper than that. I think when the angel used those words, do not be afraid, I think he was also saying, don't be afraid of what's going to happen after the birth of this child. Don't be afraid of what others are going to say. Was after the birth of Jesus, was there a social stigma? Oh man, remember what the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, said to the Lord? Man, in John chapter 8, I don't know what verse it was, it doesn't matter, but it's in John chapter 8. I think it's 40, 41, 42, right in that area. They said unto the Lord, you know, he said, we have Abraham to our father. He says, we are not born of fornication like you. God is our father. You are a Samaritan. And not only that, you have a demon. Can you believe they said that to our Lord? And yet, do you see the social stigma that Jesus grew up with? That here's Joseph, you know, that you know, you guys sinned, or somebody sinned. Does that make sense? That's what they were talking about. And so he says, which is conceived in her, past tense. So the angel's saying, yes, Joseph, your betrothed wife, she is pregnant, but not pregnant because she was unfaithful, but because she was faithful. Let it be according to me, according to thy word. Remember? Amen. And so she was faithful. But here's the problem. We are too familiar with the story of this remarkable man called Joseph. And I don't want to add to scripture, but, you know, I have to think, because I kind of put it together like a movie. And I mean, do you think that maybe Joseph, with all this happening to him, do you think that maybe he thought that cheese had slid off the cracker? Do you understand that maybe he's going, this is just not adding up? And let me ask you another question, or a few questions, and I want to make sure I get it, because I just wrote these down last night. These questions. Why did an angel appear to Mary, but not to Joseph? Why did, yes, in a dream, but you know what I mean? I'm talking about in the natural here. Why did God use a dream for Joseph, but did not use a dream for Mary? Why does God do those things? Why did God use a burning bush for Moses? Why did God use a manger for the shepherds, or a star to guide the wise men? All they had was the message of the star. They didn't have anything else. They follow the star, they believe. You know why? Because each of us, even though we are one body, are we the same? We're in unity, but we're not the same. We're different. And each of us, we have a different makeup, a different personality, a different emotional makeup, and a different way of understanding things. And so what God did here is that he knows how to speak to each of us in a way that we can get it. Does that make sense? So for Joseph, the man who never said a word in scripture, that recorded, that is, it was dreams. But here's what's interesting, that God gave Joseph four dreams. Never spoke a word, Joseph, but he gave him dreams. Look again at verse 20 of Matthew 1. It's amazing how angels can enter into our dreams. Watch this. But while he thought about these things, he was processing. Remember, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived to her is of the Holy Spirit. And he did. Amen? Okay. Now look in verse 13 of chapter 2 of Matthew, and I want you to notice that now he's going to be warned in a dream of a future event after the birth of Jesus. Matthew 2:13. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, here it comes again, in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child, not your child, Joseph, take the young child and his mother. Boy, isn't that something? His mother. And look what he said to do. What's that next word? You know what the word flee means? We're not talking about a little bug. It means to run from danger. He says, flee to Egypt. Hello. Stay there until I bring you word. Why? Look at the reason. Herod, King Herod, he'll seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the child and his mother by night, departed into Egypt, spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. That's Hosea 11:1, by the way. Now I'm going to tell you something about this silent man. I look at him, and do you see the incredible faith of Joseph? Oh my gosh. God gave a dream to Joseph. He didn't give Mary a dream. He didn't do that at all, which means this. Joseph had to go to Mary and say, Mary, I've had a dream. Did Mary depart with him? That means, number one, she loved her husband. Number two, she believed in her husband. And she also believed that her husband heard from God. Does that make sense? Or that her husband hears from God. Wives, do you believe your husbands hear from God? It's a very important word. Now, here's what I want you to do. Let's come up to the 21st century, moms, dads, all of us, okay? But particularly parents. And I want you to take their place. Herod wants to kill your infant child. He wants to butcher him like he did the massacre of the innocents, remember? And so forth. And so he wants him dead. So what is he telling the parents to do? Well, remember, let's come up to us. He says, I want you to flee to Egypt. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty close. Now, so here you are. You depart by night. You don't have an SUV anymore. You don't have a satellite navigation system. Do you understand? Yeah, man, listen, you, all of a sudden it's you, it's your wife, your infant child, and by night you do something. You are leaving Bethlehem. You go down to the Mediterranean Sea. You go through Gaza. You cross into the Sinai Desert, if you will. You finally cross. Now you're in Egypt. There are the pyramids right there along by the Nile River. Now listen, how far is that? It was 350 miles in that day. Parents, listen, I want you to think about this. Do you know what Mary and Joseph were doing? They were carrying the pre-existent creator, Son of God, the sustainer of all things, to Egypt. That's amazing to me. I look and say, dear Lord, how long were they in Egypt? God doesn't tell us. Well, we know until Herod died, but he doesn't tell how long was that. Now they have to leave. And now I'm going to show you. They got to leave now, Egypt, but they have to go to Nazareth, okay? You know how many miles that was? That's a 450-mile return. Look at verse 19 of Matthew chapter 2. Look at this incredible guidance that God gives. It says, now, when Herod was dead, it would do you well to read Josephus. Remember, he is the historian of the antiquities. He's a Jewish scholar historian. And he records how King Herod died. It says that his entire insides were filled with maggots. Can you believe that? And that he was having constant convulsions all the time. What a way to die. So it says, when Herod was dead. Now, Herod wasn't a Jew. He was raised a Jew, but he was an Edomite, okay? And he was a puppet king, if you will, put in by Rome. He was only 4 feet tall, maybe 4 feet one. Short guy, okay? Loved to kill his wives and his sons, and he was a great guy to be around. But he was also a great builder. He built Masada, and he also was building, remember, the temple there in Jerusalem, rebuilding. Now, So Herod the Great, this guy, he's the one who had the infants massacred, okay, at the birth of our Lord. And his son Herod Antipas, he's the one who had John the Baptist's head removed, okay? And so his grandson, Herod Agrippa, was in the time of our Lord and also in the time there of James, the brother of John. It says in Acts chapter 12 that Herod Agrippa, he had James, or he personally killed James with the sword. Interesting. So this is the kind of people we're dealing with. He died March 11th, 4 BC, by the way. Now, look at 19 again. So when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, how? In a dream. And he appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the child and the mother, go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Look what Joseph did. He arose. He took the young child, his mother, came into the land of Israel. Verse 22, but when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Now, so he didn't go. He stopped. Now look what happened. And being warned by God in a dream, there it is again, he turned aside into the region of the Galilee, came and dwelt there in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, that's a study all in itself. That doesn't mean he's going to be a Nazarite, or in the sense of he'll never touch wine or touch a dead body. That doesn't mean that. So that's not what they're talking about here. But here's what I want you to see. Look what God did all the way back then. He not only directed them, but he protected the most important family on this earth. And he did so by dreams. Amen? By dreams. Now, God spoke to many by dreams in the Bible. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Jacob. Oh, and Daniel. Oh, my gosh. Or how about Joseph? Was Joseph, you know, Joseph, was he the dreamer? That's what his brothers called him. Remember the dream that he had? The sun, moon, the stars are going to bow down to me. And it meant his family and so forth. And they hated Joseph. And, you know, they sold him into slavery, threw him in the pit, all those things. They wanted to kill him. You know, something's interesting about that. You know, when you really have a true dream from God, people want to kill it. Don't ever let that happen. Amen. You know, the Bible says in Acts in the last days that there'll be visions and dreams and so forth will be given. You never know what God is going to do, loved one. And so here, it was by dreams. Oh, you know what? I just remembered too. Who Pilate's wife, did God give her a dream? Yes. Did she go to Pilate and say, "Man, listen, I've had dreams about this just man. Don't you? It's troubling me. Leave this guy alone." You know. Now look at Matthew 1:22. This was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Now we know that prophet was Isaiah, and he's talking about Isaiah 7:14 about the virgin birth, and saying, "Behold, the virgin." Not a virgin, okay? The virgin shall be with child, a specific virgin. Now, that was given 700 years before? Mary wasn't even born yet. So there, God knew exactly who the virgin was going to be, amen? She will be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took his wife, did not know her, in other words, kept her as a virgin, never was intimate with her, till she brought forth her firstborn son. And look at the honor given unto Joseph. And he called his name what? Jesus, Savior. There in the manger, Joseph named our Lord. He looked upon the Son of God, the one that he was carrying, the one that was not his son, and so forth. And how wonderful that is. Now, the silent man at Christmas, all right? God chose Mary, amen? God chose Joseph, amen? Did God choose you? Yes, he did. Ephesians 1:4. He chose you in heaven before the world ever was. John 15:16, Jesus said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you that you should go forth. I've appointed you to go forth and bear much fruit." Amen? Okay, so we're chosen by God. But here's what's interesting. Joseph, the silent man, he didn't record a word. But when it comes to others like Mary or Zacharias in the Bible, when angels spoke to them, that they recorded the words that they said. Let me give you the one in Luke 18 when Zacharias told the angel. Zacharias said to the angel, meaning, remember his wife Elizabeth, was she barren? Okay, could they have any? They couldn't have children, remember? He's at the altar of incense praying, and the angel appears to him and says, "Oh, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard," you know, meaning you're going to have a child. It says, and Zacharias said to the angel, "Well, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man," like Bill. "For I'm an old man, and my wife," and I love the way he said it, "my wife is well advanced in years." Men always remember that one. Never say, "This is my old woman," or, you know, "No, this is my old," no. "My wife is beautiful. She is well advanced in years," okay? Now listen, did Zacharias believe the angel? No. Did the angel say, "You know what? You're going to be mute. You're not going to say a word." Now there's another silent man. He didn't say a word for life till he was born. That was 9 months. Amen. And then he was released when it says his name shall be called John. All right. Now, how about Mary when the angel visited her? What was Mary's response to her having a child? Let me give it to you. Luke 1:34. And then Mary said to the angel, about, you know, "I'm a virgin," and so forth. He said, "How can this be, since I don't know a man? I have never been with anyone." Now, I'm not saying that she was like Zacharias and didn't have faith, but she was the first person to doubt the virgin birth, okay? In other words, what method? How's that going to happen? And that was a great question to ask. Now, but Joseph, he didn't say anything. You know, I mean, he didn't even say a word. We don't have anything. And I kept praying, "Lord, why is that? What can I learn from Joseph? What can he show me? Because, Lord, I know that, you know, every word of God is living. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Amen. And I'm saying, "Lord, I want to learn about this." And I started thinking, and I reread and reread about this great, remarkable man. And I realized something. That God chose a man that he knew, loved one, he knew that actions speak much louder than words. Amen? "Oh, I love you, Lord." But you don't act like you love the Lord. Huh? Faith without works is dead. Never said a word, but his actions were incredible. Listen to me. The moment that Joseph awoke from the dream, what did he do? Mary, you're my wife. Now, I don't understand it. That baby, you know, do you understand? But he said, no. Man, listen, have you ever, listen, what do you think that the four dreams, what do all four dreams given to Joseph by heaven, by this angel, what do you think they all have in common? If we looked again at verse 20, that's about taking Mary, did he do it? He certainly did. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. Again, here comes this dream, and the angel says, "You arise, you take the child, you flee." All these commands, "Stay there until I bring you word." What did he do? Verse 14, here it comes. He arose, he took, left by night, departed for Egypt. Verse 19. Herod was dead. The angel of the Lord came to him again. Arise and take. And what did he do? Verse 21, he arose and he took. Look at 22 of Matthew 2. It says, and the angel appeared to him in a dream, and he turned aside in the region of Galilee. He came and he dwelt. Now, what does each dream have in common? Obedience. I'm not talking about delayed obedience. I better really pray this through. I better go talk to my pastor. I better go search some commentaries. No. His obedience in every dream, they were absolutely instantaneous. He did it immediately. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If he had delayed his obedience when the commands were given from the angel to him, could that have been costly? Yes. Boy, delayed obedience is usually always costly. What did Jesus tell us in John 14, 15? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Luke 6, 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things that I say? 1 John 5, 3, and this is love for God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Amen? And you know how do we do that? We do it by faith. God can't lie. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Amen? Yes, that's how we do it. See, James 1, 22, he was a doer of the word. He heard it and he did it. Amen? If we hear the word and we don't do it, it says you're deceiving your own selves, the Bible says. How about this scripture, 1 John 2, 3? Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, I have an intimate relationship with Jesus, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Boy, that's a Christmas card right there. Isn't it? When I think of how important it is to be obedient, think if Joseph had not been obedient to God. And let me ask you another question. Whenever you are obedient to God, does that mean there will be no consequences? No. Were there consequences? You better believe it. Did Herod want to kill the kid, our Lord? You better believe he did. You know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16, 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. What a word. Now, listen very carefully. I know it's the Christmas season, and I know that we're all busy and all of those things. And I know also that I opened up this sermon here about the silent man of Christmas with a question. And it was, I opened it, I said it was a Christmas question. And I said, are you struggling, you know, to find a perfect gift for your husband, your wife, your children? I'm going to tell you that in our text, we have found the greatest Christmas gift that you could ever give to your husband or to your wife, to your child, to your blended family, whatever it might be. And what I love is this. Again, not one recorded word with Joseph. And here's what I saw. After I read over and over looking for an answer, I realized that Joseph's life did not need words. See, Joseph was the example, wasn't he? I mean, just think about that. Listen, he was a man of action. He was a doer of the word. He didn't have the talk in the Bible because he didn't say a word. But did he have the walk? That's what he had. He was a man of faith. He heard from God, and he instantly obeyed God. And here's what I want you to see something. Joseph, there was nothing in him like there is in a lot of men today, guys. And I say this in love. We're all growing in glory to glory, amen? But listen, Joseph did not say to Mary or to us, I am the spiritual leader of my family. No, you know what he did? He didn't say a word. He showed us that he was the spiritual leader of his family. And I have to say, men, whether you're married or not, one day you might be. And listen, men, are you? If not, do you know that there is not a greater Christmas gift that you can give to your wife or children, and it will change your home forever if you will have that example in your life? Listen, being a spiritual leader in your home is something you do. It's not something you are. Do you understand? And I look at Joseph and I said, oh my gosh. I mean, he didn't say a word. He just did it. I love this guy. Matter of fact, I've never preached a sermon on this, but when I saw it, I went, oh God, what a great man. Why is he left out? Why? I mean, and he said, well, he's the example. And not only that, is Joseph, and what we've just learned, no words, just about his actions, is he an example of the husband's role in marriage? Did you know that Joseph and Mary, that their marriage truly was made in heaven? No, it was. We know the scriptures, loved one. We've gone through Ephesians. And we know that in Ephesians 5:25, it tells us husbands, love, that word is agape, God's kind of love. Love your wives. That is the highest command for a husband. Love your wives. And then he gives us the perfect example. He says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that sacrificial love. He took our place on the cross. He died for us. Amen? Okay, now listen. Joseph, did he know anything of the church? No. Did he know anything about that command? No, he didn't know that. But he demonstrated that kind of love to Mary. And he did so without one word recorded in the Bible. Do you know why? Because he treated agape love as a verb and not as a noun. Okay? Agape is a verb, which means this. That kind of love can only be demonstrated. You can say, I love you, I love you. You don't mean it. But when you demonstrate that love, it's different. Amen? See, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated, that word means proved, his own love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? So that is such a powerful thing. Man, listen, he loved Mary just like Christ loved the church, it looks like to me. You see, true headship means this, guys. You only have one thing you can do to rule your home, and that is agape. And if you don't rule it that way, you're not ruling your home. You're actually out of God's will. Did you know that? Bill, this is Christmas. Don't do that to me. Hey, this is a Christmas gift. No, Joseph's love for Mary. Now watch him, this example. It was absolutely unconditional. And here's how I know that. Did he save Mary from shame? Did he save her from reproach? Did he save her from death? Absolutely, loved one. He didn't give her a bill of divorcement. He could have done that. And there he is. He's standing with her. She's pregnant. It is not his. And yet, he said, I believe you, Mary. I trust you, Mary. I want you and I love you. I'm going to tell you something, men. There is no greater Christmas gift to give your family if you're not loving your wife as Christ loved the church or trying to grow into that. There's not a greater gift you can give. To love your wife God's way. Not your way, her God's way. Amen? God created her to be loved a specific way. All right? And if you don't love her God's way, you have more confidence in the way you love her than what God said to do. You have more faith in you than you have in God. Put that in your package. It's a joke, all right? No, it's not a joke. It's the truth. Now, Joseph, was he obedient? He loved his family. He loved his wife. Okay, now listen. This one more time. Last thing. This one moved me. Joseph did something. Now, Jesus was not his child. We know that. He's a son of God. He came from heaven. Amen? Okay. But Joseph did something. He protected his family the entire time. God knew that he would do that. He protected his family, and he protected the pre-existence eternal son of the living God in the very womb of Mary. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Fathers, mom, listen to me. There's a lot of Herods in the 21st century. Do you hear me? There's a lot of Herods, and they want to destroy your child. They want to destroy your marriage. And we know who he is. It's the devil, amen? Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, but the devil has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. Parents, you want to have a great Christmas, a great 2025. The greatest Christmas gift that you can give your children. Number one, protect them. Number two, give them an example. Do you follow me? And you can give an example without words. Did you know that? Listen, it says in Ephesians 6:4, "And you fathers," and meaning you mothers, "do not provoke your children to wrath," here it comes, "but bring them up, raise them in the training and the admonition," that means instruction, "of the Lord. And if you don't do it, someone else will." Did you know that? Yes. Now listen, so to be an example to your child is power, man. In other words, you don't tell your children to pray. You teach your children to pray. You get a, when Thomas was a little boy, still getting in bed with us at night, I'd get down on my knees and I'd say, "Let's pray together, son. It's time to go to bed." You teach your child to pray. You don't tell your child to pray. You don't tell your child, "Go read the Bible. Get that Bible coloring book." No, you teach your child to read the Bible. And then when he says, "What does that mean?" You go, "Oh, let me tell you. Are you following me?" See, loved one, listen, to be raised in a Christian home, oh my Lord, isn't a Christian home where Jesus is loved, isn't that amazing? What a home that is. Listen, living in a home, your child, where the Bible is not only read, but it's believed. What a home that is. Parents, listen to me now. I'm closing, but just listen. And all Christians, your actions speak louder than your words. The way you live your life in your home, do you follow me? Your example that you're giving to your child. Not only that, Joseph the silent man at Christmas, he didn't speak a word. Yet everything he did has spoken volumes to me. That's what he was. Not a word. He lived it. He wasn't afraid to serve God. He was a brave man. He took his family by night into Egypt. He wasn't afraid. I mean, I've always said, I can't wait to meet Paul in heaven and this. But you know what? I can't wait to meet Joseph. I hope he speaks. But do you know what I'm saying? But there's an example there. I want to encourage all of you. Your actions speak louder than words. When you smile at people and love people and hug people and give to people, and when you walk like Jesus walked, and that's a command, by the way, 1 John 2:6, he who says that he abides in him should also walk just as he walked. Amen? And you can do so by grace and by the power of the living God in you. Let's move into 2025 and say, you know what? I don't want to have the talk. I want to have the walk in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray over the sheep of your pasture. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone here that they have never made Jesus as their Lord, that they would come to this altar. No, that they would go to the prayer room and they would say, how do I become a Christian? How do I get my life right with God? There'll be people there to pray with them. And Lord, I pray over now the men. Fall upon them. Every man a spiritual leader. Every woman a spiritual leader. Oh God, fall upon your church. We love you. We praise you now. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's